Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Usually when you talk about a bank robbery, it's not lighthearted or anything, you know, it's a violent crime, that kind of thing. We've got a great story for you on this one. This guy, Elijah Shelton, who after this will be referred to as the genius, decides he wants to rob a bank in Santa Rosa County.
I think Sheriff Johnson, Santa Rosa County Sheriff Johnson, Bob Johnson, gets a little extra special joy out of being able to make fun of dumb criminals. And I mean, he's not off target here.
So normally you get a car, fast car, so you can get away and everything. He calls a cab to his house. Cab picks him up, takes him to the bank, waits in the parking lot. He robs the bank, comes back to the cab. Cab takes him home. I mean, I got nothing here, people. This guy is not going to be a first-round draft pick with NASA. He takes a cab back to his own house.
I mean, thank God for criminals that make law enforcement easier. You know, if he'd have dropped me at the park, you know, dropped me at the community center, just take me to my house. Oh, my God. And by the way, they didn't get the money. They did get the guy. There's no weapons charge because apparently they did this without the weapon. But there's one more element of this story. This is the Navarro Synovus bank robbery, right? One more element of this story that makes it just that much extra.
And what's even better, so he really wanted to rob the bank on Thursday, but the cab broke down. So now he had to go to plan number two, and Friday he robs the bank. They fixed the cab, lucky for him. So.
If this were like an episode of Law and Order, it'd be the shortest episode ever. It'd be like 3 minutes long.
Doom, doom.
Yeah. We called the cab company. Doom, doom. What's his address? Doom, doom. We arrested him. And we're done.
Okay.
A block is over.
If I can give somewhat of a defense for choosing a cab.
Go on.
No one's going to suspect a cab right away. Because you're thinking, okay, the getaway vehicle is zooming away, and you're a police chase ensues, but you're just casually in a cab. No one's going to think the cab is where.
So he went on for the incognito element.
Yes, but then also there's the really dumb element. Well,
to your house.
It went to your house. The cab. Yeah. What's stopping the cab from ratting on you?
With pictures.
Oh, by the way. Like, I'm sure, like, there's recordings and whatnot. Your face is all over there.
Oh, my God. But can you imagine you're the cab driver? You know, and you find out, oh, my God, I was driving. Because he didn't know. Obviously, he did not know. You know, and he's probably like, oh, man, that guy didn't give me a note. Maybe the tip was great. I mean, he's got like, a bag full of money.
Just maybe give him a handful of cash and move on.
I mean, just total offhanded curiosity. I'd be wondering whether he gave him a good tip or not. You know, because the guy who just picked up $8,000 at a bank robbery, you'd think he could afford to throw him a 10 or a 20 at least. I don't know. 437-1620, 437-1620. Meanwhile, much more serious story. Santa Rosa County, again, holding a press conference yesterday and talking about this now charges of a homicide in relation to a felony murder charge in relation to an attempted carjacking / everything. I mean, this story is crazy.
Next up, we have a homicide arrest. Jennifer Broxson. Now, this is an incident that occurred back in October of last year at a boat ramp in Pace. And if you recall that case, Miss Broxson and her cohort, Allison DeJanes, took this guy down to a boat ramp in order to carjack him. And basically what happened after that, a gun was produced. Miss DeJanes was killed and Miss Broxson was shot. And she subsequently has gotten out of the hospital, and now she's been arrested for one count of felony murder, one count of aggravated battery, one count of carjacking, and one count of obstructing justice.
Yeah, everything about this story is weird, including that it took this long to unravel because, you know, it's hard to get good details on it. But the PNJ, Colin Warren Hicks, had a really good story about this. Here's kind of the background. Apparently, this dude, unnamed, comes in, and the two women, underage women at the time, 17 and 16, they get together with him for what you would imagine. Okay. And then they take him. They say, hey, let's go down to the fishing pier, the boat ramp, whatever. And then as they're getting there, they start asking him weird questions about his car, ask sketchy questions. You know, hey, we got to be real with you. We run a business. And, you know, they told him to step away from his car when they finally got there and give him the keys. He did as he was instructed. He was complying. And then they got greedy. They asked him for his cell phone. So they were successfully carjacking him. And then they said, give me the cell. And he said, no. And the physical fight broke out. So he goes for like some kind of an extendable baton. And apparently he was kind of winning with that. And then they started to go for what he thought was a gun, or they began to use a stun gun on him, hit him with a hammer. I mean, this is a crazy fight. And he was, you know, basically worried. He's strangling her. One of them is yelling, get the gun. I mean, this is craziness. And then finally, he uses a gun from under his driver's seat, and he fires at both of them. He kills the one girl, and he wounds the other one. And then he's not being charged with anything. So my only question about all this, aside from it's, my God, is my question is, obviously she's charged with felony murder. And that's because, you know, if you're involved in a felony, even if you don't kill the person, being involved in the felony that winds up in a person's death, you're accountable under the law for that death as a felony murder. That's why the charge. That's why it's called felony murder. It's not meant to say, like, you know, some murders are misdemeanors and some murders are felonies. It's felony murder because in connection with a felony. But what my thought is, and I've texted because I don't know the answer to this, is I don't know why he's not being charged with, you know, attempt to have sex with minor women. And if that charge would have been a felony, then I would think he would also be somehow subject to criminal charges for felony murder because he's trying to engage in a felony, maybe, and then there's a death. So I just don't know the answer to that. I think the sheriff's office basically wrote this off as a, you know, a sexual encounter and went all wrong, and he was the victim of the carjacking, and that's all there is to it. But questions remain, and certainly a bizarre story.
City yard waste pickup is running behind schedule due to significant increase in yard waste being placed on the curbside for pickup in recent weeks. City sanitation is running approximately a week to two weeks behind normal yard waste pickup. We do believe we've gotten the bulk of it from that storm, and we think we will be catching up, but we still may have this week. You may have intermittent service, not your normal usual service. City sanitation crews are working diligently to get the yard waste picked up on schedule. We appreciate your patience as we work to get caught up. This is only impacting yard waste for the city of Pensacola sanitation customers. Garbage and recycling pickup continue to run on schedule, and we will continue to work with that.
There you go. So yard waste pickup is on a big delay at the city of Pensacola, but garbage and recycling are both no big deal. Also, this has been just one of those kind of last couple of days have just been all the crazy that could happen. You know, all the traffic problems we had over the weekend. Then you have the gas shortage caused by a variety of factors, including the fuel depot being shut down by Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services for failing an EPA test. And you've got the pipeline with the ransomware to the degree that that impacts us, mostly indirectly, because it means if we're looking for trucking-based gasoline delivery that we're now competing with all of the other people harmed by the pipeline shutdown, that they're also looking for that. So that's probably where that competition comes in. Oh, by the way, we did get a note in, or not a note, but our thought was, did you check the Buc-ee's, Davis? Because every time there's a fuel shortage, Buc-ee's seems to always have the fuel.
They usually do. Which, usually by the way, I wouldn't mind a road trip there for a few reasons.
Over there, yeah. Of course, you got to kind of commit to that as a plan. I mean, that's not a just drive by and check it out to see. And in other like weird news, I did get a report in this morning of on Olive Road a pair of peacocks. Male and female. How do you know? Because of the feathers. So I don't know. Couldn't send me a picture, so I don't know. But if you see it and shoot a pic safely, text it to us at 437-1620. And so far, we're like 12 hours CSX train stoppage free. So we got that. We're on watch, though, if you see a train stopped in our area, which Davis was telling me right in the break. He got an alert on his phone. What was the alert for, Davis? This is no kidding. There was the train stopped on Oakfield, Burgess, and Hancock yesterday for like 10 hours.
Yeah,
and they say that the driver ran out of time driving or something. Whatever. Okay.
It says CSX currently hiring for a freight conductor in Pensacola, Florida.
Freight conductor or coordinator?
Conductor.
Oh, all right. So maybe walked off the job and maybe didn't just get done with his hours. I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. Here, you clean up this train. Oh, good Lord.
And by the way, it looks like Bucky's is open. Apparently not too busy.
All right. So, yeah, if you're dropping off at West Florida or Brown Barge, no train yet today, as far as we know, fingers crossed. Mark Jacobs is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. Mark?
Police in Alabama investigating an overnight shooting that sent seven people to the hospital. Happened just after 10 o'clock last night at a gas station. Officers at the hospital say none of the victims' injuries is considered life-threatening. The president claims the economic recovery from COVID is on track.
Because of the American Rescue Plan, forecasters are projecting we'll see the fastest economic growth in nearly 40 years in the months to come.
Biden says the economy is moving in the right direction after losing more than 22 million jobs during the pandemic. The economy only added 266,000 in April, far below expectations. And, you know, all the weirdness isn't just happening here.
No. Monopoly.
It's scattered equally across the country. In Texas, the owner of a tiger on the loose is behind bars. 26-year-old arrested last night. He says the tiger's not his. He doesn't know where it is. The animal caught on video wandering around a Houston neighborhood on Sunday night. Police say the owner was then seen escorting the tiger into a home and later putting it in his Jeep. Now, the owner himself reportedly was out on bond. He was facing murder charges at the time.
Oh, my God. This is Joe Exotic.
Tiger King 2. Like, oh.
And, of course,
baby.
You know, they say that animal was caught on video wandering around the neighborhood. We've gotten some of that video.
There go.
See.
Yep, there you go.
See. Okay. I see you, Mark Jacobs. All right. 7:26 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. There was another thing in all of the middle of this that I was going to tell you about. Now it just went straight up. You got me with the Tony the Tiger. It totally distracted me off of whatever what else I was going to share with you.
But most importantly, don't panic to buy. Don't hoard gas, and don't form long lines at gas stations like behind me. Fuel is continuing to move around our state.
So let me stand in front of a lot of people doing the dumb thing and then go on Twitter and tell Nikki Fried, Department of Agriculture, Secretary of Agriculture, and she says, don't do it. Where are you, by the way, Commissioner? Are you coming here to Pensacola where there's a problem with fuel right now because of a source that was shut down? I mean, I think you kind of ought to visit. And if she comes, kudos to her. And if she doesn't, why not?
I'm Jennifer Kuschenko with Your Money Now. Novavax has delayed plans to seek regulatory clearances for its COVID-19 vaccine, while shortages in raw materials are slowing the ramp-up of production of doses. The delays may set back efforts to increase vaccinations in developing countries, which have been dealing with limited doses of currently available shots and are looking forward to Novavax's. Previously, Novavax said it expected to complete requests for regulatory authorizations in the U.S., U.K., and other European countries by the end of June. Now, the company says it expects to complete those filings by the end of September. Tyson Foods says it's raising wages to combat absenteeism and worker turnover at its plants as U.S. demand for chicken soars. The Springdale, Arkansas-based company, which processes 20% of U.S. beef, chicken, and pork, says absentee rates are about 50% higher than they were before the pandemic. Tyson says it takes about 6 days now to get 5 days worth of work. On Wall Street, futures are lower. That's Your Money Now.
3 a.m. 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, as he does every single Tuesday at this time, Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Chip, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir. Now, the first thing I want to ask you is, I don't know the answer. I always like to ask questions I don't know the answer to. Are your deputies involved, or have they had to be involved in any extra policing related to the fuel shortage, traffic congestion, telling people where to drive, or anything like that? Has that been an issue for the last day or today?
No, it has not yet been an issue. We're obviously aware of some of the crowds around some of the gas stations, but I think people have been pretty well behaved for the most part. I've been seeing what you've been seeing, what others have been seeing. But right now, we have not been asked to assist in any way.
Well, good. And it was a question that had occurred to me as well, is how abundant is your fuel supply for your officers who are obviously on the road a lot?
Yeah, that's a good question. We talked about that yesterday, and we're doing pretty good. I mean, obviously, we're monitoring it much like we would during a hurricane to know that we have enough fuel to make sure that we can provide our service to the county. But the Skamania County Sheriff's Office, we use a lot of gas every day. But I inquired about that yesterday. We're good for at least 1 or 2 weeks.
Okay. All right. Well, good news, obviously. And we certainly hope that everything will be back to normal long before that. So very good. Had a bunch of incidents in the last few days. I'm not sure where you want to start, but I guess we had one at Fairfield. There was a drive-by shooting overnight, we think.
Yeah, we had two things yesterday, two shooting events yesterday. One was a drive-by at Fairfield where no one was reported to be injured. And then we had a second one at Broadmoor Lane, in which someone was shot. When we get there, we noticed blood and some spent shell casings on the roadway. Later on, a victim shows up at the hospital. That's the one where one of the vehicles that were described in the incident ends up crashing at C Street and Lee Streets. The City of Pensacola Police Department is handling that that accident, and we're obviously working with them.
All right, very good. And then we had another, like a different shooting involved on Fairfield a day or two before that of a guy shot in the abdomen. Is that right?
Yeah, we got a report of an individual that got shot in the stomach. It's not life-threatening injuries, but we're still working that investigation. So, yeah, we've had two over the last 3 days on Fairfield and then the one on Broadmoor.
All right, and then, of course, the most horrible one, which, you know, you did a press conference on this Friday. We played some of your comments on Monday. It's a terrible loss, but we had this unintentional shooting that took place with the two-year-old, right?
Yeah, we had this guy that was a convicted felon, wasn't supposed to have a gun, was showing off the gun to his girlfriend, and when she asked him to put the gun away, as he's trying to holster it, evidently he a round went off and unfortunately struck and killed the two-year-old. It's, again, wasn't supposed to have a gun, certainly wasn't handling it properly, and his extreme negligence cost the life of a two-year-old.
And he ran away, and, you know, you talked about that in your press conference, that, you know, it's one thing to have an accident, it's another thing to flee the situation and not even help out the child that's been injured. But there's no additional charges from that, right? That didn't escalate the charges in any way beyond what they would originally be for felony possession or negligent homicide, right?
It didn't. The fact that he ran is just indicative of his character, I guess.
Yeah.
But the charges were the negligent manslaughter.
All right. Well, that's a terrible story. You guys released a video last week that was pretty, I mean, it's hard to watch because it reinforces how dangerous domestic situations can be of a guy breaking into a home who was then shot by the woman that he was coming after, right?
Yeah, we normally don't talk about domestic violence type situations, but in this case, we get a call that an individual had been shot inside a home. When we get there, we determined that a 54-year-old male had broken into the front door, kicked in the front door, and obviously we saw the video, and that we released the video. So everyone has seen the video of just the anger and the demeanor of this 54-year-old and trying and kicking, trying to get into the home. When he gets into the home, he arms himself with a knife from the kitchen. He goes room to room looking for the mother of his child and ends up getting shot whenever he gets to the rear bedroom. A clear case of self-defense. Again, we talk about this all the time, and as long as your actions are reasonable, and I think that the reason we put the video out is so people will understand just how reasonable these actions were. And imagine yourself in that home when someone's trying, or one of your loved ones in a home like that, and someone's trying so desperately to get in, clearly there was ill intent on his part, and clearly it was self-defense.
And to me, you know, when I see this, aside from it being terrifying, I watched it having known the outcome, right? That the assailant was killed and that the victim survives. And it, to me, what it reminded me of is, you know, what we're always saying about, you know, some people who think that guns are bad. And my way of thinking is, no, you know, a gun saved a life in this case. I mean, a woman has less physical power than a maniacal man wielding a knife who's coming after her to kill her. You know, the outcome that would have happened if she hadn't had a gun is hard. You know, it's horrifying to imagine what could have happened to her or anybody else in that home. But she was able to defend herself because she had a weapon and she was capable of using it effectively, right?
Well, it's, you know, when you're watching the video, if you didn't know the outcome, you would find yourself, you know, rooting for the potential victim and hoping that they had something to defend themselves. You know, it's like watching a television show when you're, you know, and you put yourself in that situation and you're just hopeful that they'll survive it. And then you're certainly hopeful that they have something, as you mentioned, a firearm in this case, to defend themselves, because clearly he was there to hurt somebody.
Absolutely.
Well, I think it's just part of what we're doing. It got some publicity because we started discussing it, and we had our neighborhood specialists and members of our community services out there in our neighborhoods talking to people, and people wondering what we were doing. Well, we're developing a template so that we can go to each neighborhood and have that same evaluation, that same assessment tool to help them in working with us, and really to help themselves as well, so that we can make our engagement like we've never seen before. But I think that it's also important for people to understand we're not just doing that. We're also working on the enforcement side. We talked about a couple of shootings that just took place and some things that we're doing. I also want to make mention that on the enforcement side, where I've moved all of my neighborhood or my high intensity patrol unit to gun crime. So they're going to concentrate solely on the gun crimes so that we can start to really get a handle on some of the shootings that are taking place. We've had some success so far. We're working with the ATF, working with the Pensacola Police Department. So our partnerships are enhanced, and now our concentration will be on the gun crime specifically. But to your point, the block by block is again just half of the equation, and we think that when we use this multi-pronged approach, it'll make our neighborhood safer.
Yeah, absolutely. Last thing is tomorrow we are having the annual memorial to the fallen officers, but it's going to be a little bit different this year because of COVID, right?
Yeah, you know, we made the decision a couple of months ago when the COVID situation was still unclear, but our memorial takes place indoors. With what has been historically a large crowd indoors, families, friends, and people who want to come. And then we move it outdoors for the laying of the rose on the memorial. Because we had a big indoor event, we felt like it was best probably if we do this virtually. Now, we will still have our honor guard laying the rose for each fallen deputy and two fallen canines on the memorial. And so that's why we chose to make it more of a virtual event. Now, the family members of the deputies that lost their lives are invited. What we'll do is we'll have a rose laying event every 30 minutes to represent each of the deputies that are fallen. And then we will have a special one because we're naming one of our canines, our newest canine, after one of our fallen deputies. That's Doug Heist. So Canine Heist will actually get to meet the family of Doug Heist tomorrow at about 1 o'clock.
Oh, what a wonderful way to carry on his name. And yeah, that ceremony every year is such a moving one. If people, I know you can't go this year, but when we're back to normal in the future, if you have a chance to go and spend some time and think about the sacrifices made on behalf of our citizens by these, sheriff's deputies over the years and sheriff. Very good. Chip Simmons, he is the Escambia County Sheriff. Chip, thanks so much for the time, certainly, and thanks so much for what you do. We appreciate it.
You bet. Y'all take care.
749 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. One more quick update on gasoline. I've been told by somebody that the BP at I-10 and Highway 87 does not have gas, or sorry, the Shell or the BP, either one at Highway 87 and I-10. But as I said a minute ago, I got a report that the Baghdad stations did have gas on I-10. And somebody sent us a picture of what they're calling the smartest gas station in town that actually put up crime scene tape all along the whole perimeter. So it's really easy to see from driving by on the road that they do not have gas, as opposed to pulling in and catching sight of the yellow, you know, wrapped up gas pump handles or something like that. 50 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. Good stuff. You know what this means? It's time to give away some Pensacon tickets. I have two tickets to go to Pensacon, not this weekend, but next weekend. And here's all you got to do. Tell me the name of an actor who played that guy. 437-1620, 437-1620. First correct answer wins. Tell me an actor who played that guy. 437-1620 for two Pensacon passes. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
Your children will soon be able to roll up their sleeves and get protected from coronavirus, FDA approving Pfizer's vaccine for 12 to 15-year-olds. At least 20 people, including 9 children, dead following Israeli airstrikes in Gaza.
The Israeli Defense Forces say they hit 3 Hamas terrorists after militant groups fired rockets at Jerusalem on Monday. Gaza health officials noted 9 children were among those killed by the airstrikes. Both acts came after the Palestinians again clashed with Israeli police at a religious site in Jerusalem. The Palestine Red Crescent Society explained over 300 people were hurt during the skirmishes with police.
That's Mark Mayfield, the group behind the Golden Globes promising reform after the awards ceremony was dropped by NBC. Network saying it won't air the 2022 Globes because of a lack of diversity.
All right, Mark, thanks so much for the update. On the line now, we've got Christian at 437-1620. Christian, for a pair of Pensacon passes, tell me, you know the show, but who played that person and what was that person?
Tobey Maguire.
And what was the character he was playing?
Spider-Man.
Very good. Congratulations. Yeah, there's only like 20 people that have played Spider-Man. I had to pull up the whole list in case somebody gave me like Robbie Damon. And there's a lot of characters. But yeah, congratulations. Enjoy Pensacon. We'll have basically a pair of tickets every day from now until, as far as I know, until right up to the event. So be listening. And of course, you can always pay to go. It's certainly worth the price of admission. Davis Allen, time for a quick shot of sports.
Well, the Pensacola Blue Wahoos, for the first time in over 600 days, are going to be playing a home game at Blue Wahoo Stadium.
Taking we hope.
They should, but yeah, there is rain in the forecast. 40% chance around first pitch. Taking on the Birmingham Barons. If you can't make the game for any reason, you can listen on ESPN Pensacola 1330 AM and 99.1 FM. I'll be on the call with Steve Nissom, so looking forward to
that. Are you play-by-play or color?
Color.
All right.
Doing color. Watch, I like color. The color part.
Color's fun.
It's fun. Also, Tim Tebow making another return to the NFL, signing a one-year deal with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Let's see if he actually can make the roster. And congratulations to Russell Westbrook passing Oscar Robertson for most triple-doubles in NBA history. That's your quick shot of sports. Now rolling it into your traffic on the fives. We do have a couple accidents to report. Highway 98 through Windhaven Beach, eastbound, there's an accident right by the Happy Donut, backing up traffic right around the Cache 98 package and Lounge. Also, we had an early report of a DUI incident that took place at the intersection of 9th and Bayou. However, no longer seeing delays as a result of that. Taking a look at Highway 29, traveling southbound, it is delayed between 9 Mile and I-10. Also, 9 Mile Road showing delays, backed up to Beulah Road eastbound. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
You know, everybody has to replace a car at some point, right? You know you're going to have to eventually. The question is, did you just get one, or are you like real close at the end that you just have to get rid of one, right? Well, somewhere in there, you start to realize the time is coming. That's when you start looking at cars. 6 months, a year before you buy, here's why. You get familiar with what's out there, what the features are, what the various makes and models and specials and extras are. So you know what you want. That way, you can look for the right price between now and then. And also, if push comes to shove and things go wrong with your car right in a big way, you're not under that much stress because you already know what you're trying to buy. But ideally, you don't buy under pressure. You buy when the time is right and the price is right. So where do? You go to Frontier Motors. You try a bunch of different things. You sit in a bunch of different cars. You just see what's out there. Tell them your needs. Tell them your kind of your budget and what you're thinking about. And tell them your time frame. And they'll help you. And if they don't have it, they'll find it. But in any case, it's a place to start. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for over 25 years. Right behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. ...7:59 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Mattel wants your old Barbie dolls and Matchbox cars, and they're doing a toy take-back program because they're saying that they're going to recycle them into new toys, and if you're done with them, here's my thought. Sure they are, eBay. Besides, they're not paying you. Other companies will pay you or give you trade or something like that. They're just saying, hey, send us your old toys. No thanks.